are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled God is Your Shepherd for 2016, is a special message based on Psalm 23 and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
I'm going to ask you to stand with me because we're going to read the word of the Lord this morning. And I've been meditating on this passage, and I think it would be a blessing just to look at a very special piece of scripture today. This is a scripture that I'm sure all of you know all about. Psalm 23. I bet if we didn't even shoot it up, many of you can just say it. But let's just hear the word of the Lord. Here it comes. King David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long?
Forever.
Father, we come before you this Sunday morning. We've left our homes to come to this house, to this place of meeting, this place of gathering. And Lord, we have come here this morning with a very specific purpose. We've come to worship you, Lord, in this house of worship. We come to worship you with our hearts and with our minds, in spirit and in truth. We ask, Lord, that you would fill this place by your Holy Spirit this morning. As we begin this new year, Lord, may we begin it right here with you. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to understand the scriptures today. We pray that you would speak into our lives today, collectively and individually. Jesus, you are the risen Messiah. You are the great rabbi, the great teacher of Nazareth. You are the Christ. We pray that you would walk in our midst today and you be our teacher. May by your Holy Spirit you guide us and lead us today and speak into our hearts in a very personal way. And Lord, as always, we pray for the people that for the year of 2016 will be behind this pulpit. Help these people, God, to speak clearly from what you want to say without error. And all this would be done for the glory of the Lord Jesus and his kingdom and no one else's. These things we pray in your most holy name. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. Welcome again. I get to say it to a new year. It's our first Sunday. It's 2016. And so let me ask you this. Have you been doing some reflecting on 2015? Did you get a chance to do some reflection this year on maybe things that happened in 2015 that were surprises to you? My wife and I was doing quite a bit of this. We sat around and we said, so what were some of the surprises that happened in 2015? And then we had to categorize, well, there's good surprises. Then we had some bad surprises, right? Have any of you been doing any of this? A little bit? We talked a little bit about New Year's resolutions and things we want to do differently. Has anybody been doing this? Little reflection. It's important to do it. Okay, here's your homework assignment. Today when you go to lunch, I want you to sit down and talk about what were the good surprises of 2015? What were the bad surprises? Good surprises. For our family, good surprises was, I was telling, so I turned 50 in 2015, and I went out to the river, and I've been out there my whole life to the river, boating and jet skiing and all that. I saw a thunder and lightning storm in the year of 2015 that scared the stink out of me. And I mean, it started at 11 o'clock at night, and it ended about 5 in the morning. The thunder, the lightning. I have never seen such a display, an awesome display in my life. I thought Christ was coming back. And I look back on that, I said, that was an awesome surprise, just to see that. I mean, I was afraid. I was afraid in a tent. We couldn't get to the other side of the river. We were trapped there. It was awesome. That was just, you know, that was a good surprise. Bad surprises? We had a few bad surprises. Hey, Dad, my car's not running right. Really? Transmission went out on his car. Guess how much a transmission for a Mini Cooper costs? The dealership said to repair it, $10,000. We paid $11,000 for the car. Now, is that a bad surprise? Is that a bad surprise? How many people would say that was a bad surprise? It's a bad surprise. These are some of ours. What was some of yours? I mean, good surprises. Watching my son graduate from basic training was awesome. That was a wonderful surprise. Good things, right? I want you to do that. Now, let me say this. As your pastor, I've been doing this with our church. There's been a lot of really neat things that happened in the year of 2015 that I would just like to spend a little bit of time with this morning before we head to Psalm 23. But in 2015, a time of reflection, there was a lot of new things that happened at Woodbridge, at this church, last year. One of them is, I don't know if you noticed, but we put up security cameras at the church in 2015. I want all of you to know that you are safe here. Here. As a matter of fact, we're doing a spiritual parenting class to protect our children as parents. Friends, I hate spending money. We spent $7,000 on video cameras. I hate spending tithes and offerings on video cameras. Isn't that sad? We have to do this. But it's just the sign of the times. Houses of worship, increases of violence happening. As soon as we put them in, the week we put them in, we had the homicide right over here across the street, and our video camera picked up the guy that murdered his wife over here. And our video cameras, the week it went in, is now being used as evidence on this homicide that happened. We had someone throw bricks through our windows in the year of 2015. It's just the way it is. So something we've done, and we're just trying to do our best, due diligence to make sure that everybody here is safe. We're doing our best to make sure that no one's going to walk through those doors and hurt anybody on this campus or anywhere. And we've made efforts in this. It's what happened in 2015. It's a good thing. You should know that. It's important. Okay? Stuff like that. Year 2015, we launched something, our fifth and sixth grade ministry. And just studying what fifth and sixth grade is, they're really not in children's ministry. They're really not in youth ministry. The fifth and sixth graders, they're at a very special time in their own lifespan development. And we just wanted to create a ministry just for them. And we did this year, and it's rocking, and we're really stoked about it. We're thankful for it. Good things that's happened in 2015. Our family camp was awesome. You know, every old youth pastor Frank, I used to always take the youth kids, my students, to Hume Lake, but this year we broke a tradition and we went and hit our own family youth camp, and then we made it a church family camp. It was awesome. It was a new thing at Woodbridge, and it really impacted our church, and don't miss it this next year, because it was incredible. Things that we did that was new this last year that really was cool, and things that really worked. You know, for me, the year of 2015 was just a year of journey, and I got to let you know that I'm a disciple, and I'm always a learner. I'm not done learning. And last year, we did a series called Ghost Stories. Y'all remember that? And in the process, the Holy Ghost, I wanted to tell the church about miracles. Did you know that God does miracles and has done miracles in people's lives in this church? That our God is not just a cognitive God of thought, but he's moving in here, and he's a God of signs and wonders, just like in the days of Jesus. And so we did a series called Ghost Stories. And as you recall, during that series, we set up a time for people to come up and pray. And we wanted to come up and pray for whatever is on your heart, financial, emotional, physical, spiritual. We wanted to pray during a time of worship, because I want to see more ghost stories at Woodbridge. They're already happening, but we need to acknowledge them and see them, because it edifies the body of Christ. Do y'all remember this? We're going to do more of this next year. Every Sunday except Communion Sunday, which is the first Sunday of the month, at the end of every service, we're going to open up a time of worship and praise. And I want you to know that you can come forward any and every Sunday to receive prayer for whatever it is that God's on your life. If you need a ghost story, if you need a power, the filling of the Holy Spirit, God to do something in your life, a heavy burden, I want you to come to church and you have a heavy burden that Sunday, you just come forward and we will pray for you during that time. And we're looking for God to do mighty and powerful things because that's who our God is. That's what happened last year. It's what we're going to continue to do this year. And I want you to tell me, you have neighbors, and I know you have friends at work or relatives and people that are skeptical. And these people this next year are going to go through a valley of the shadow of death in their lives. And when that happens, you invite them to church and say, why don't you come to church with me that morning and have the pastors pray for you? And let's see if God might do something. You with me? Does this sound all right to you? Because God is a moving God. Things that happened last year. Things that we're going to be continuing to do this year. By far, the greatest thing we ever did last year was our sermon-based growth groups. You know, Jesus says, Matthew 28, does anyone know Matthew 28? Go make disciples, right? Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, therefore go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do and obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, Jesus says. Always, even right now, Jesus is with you, even to the end of the age. It's the great commission. It's the great go. It's the great do given by Jesus. People, we exist as a church to help people. All people do what? Meet, know, and follow Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why this church is here. We're here to help all people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, as many as God would bring, because that is a slice of heaven. The gospel isn't for Jewish people only. It's for Gentiles too, all nations, tribes, and tongues, to help all people. Meet, know, the money comes in following. To meet Jesus, to know Jesus is glorious, but to follow him is where the money comes from, right? Now, here's a note for you. You're going to take notes. I want you to write this down because this is so important. We're going to stir this in. In your notes, write this down. You ready? Jesus says, go make disciples, right? Watch this. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Write that down, stir it in your heart because it's true. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships, right? When Jesus spoke the Great Commission, he spoke it to his disciples. And they're like, well, how did Jesus make disciples of his disciples? He spent time with them. It was in relationship. Jesus would hang out with them. Jesus was sharing his life with them. And these people in that community were sharing lives with each other. And in that, spiritual growth happens. Spiritual growth happens in meaningful relationships. Now, when I was on my sabbatical a couple years ago, I read a really good book called Sticky Church with a guy named Larry Osborne. And I was so taken by this. And he was the one that came up with the idea called sermon-based growth groups. Every church has small groups. Every church has midweek small groups. But what this says is you build your small groups out of the Sunday morning message. The people hear the message on Sunday. They get together in groups during the midweek, and they talk about the message. What stuck out to you? How does this stir into your life? Well, this is how it stirs into my life. And in it, relationships start to happen. People come together. They start talking about the message and they begin stirring it in. And it's very good because if you do this type of stuff, things happen to your church. Now, reading this guy's book, this is what he says. He said, Frank, if you go and do this, well, he didn't really say Frank, but this is what we found works. He says, in these sermon-based growth groups, it increases people's attentiveness on Sunday morning. Why? Because you're going to talk about it again during the midweek, right? So immediately, it says it makes you a better pastor because people will listen to you. It's funny, when I was a professor at Biola, if there was no midterms and no tests, do you think the students would have listened to me? I don't think so. They might have just maybe doodled on paper and said that was cool. But they had to listen to me because I was going to quiz them on it, right? Sermon-based growth groups is not quizzing it, but I'm going to hear this because I'm going to talk about this. So it creates attentiveness on Sunday. It increases note-taking on Sunday. Why? Because you're going to talk about it. You're going to discuss the material later on in the week. It increases application, it says. Because as you hear a message, it's one thing. But when you get together, the group of people, and everybody puts their eyes on it and talks about it, and it increases application of how does this text work and feel. It's kind of stirring it in your life. He says that by doing this, it creates church-wide unity. Everybody's on the same page. All the growth groups are on the same page. Everybody's discussing the sermon on Sunday. It creates easy on-ramps, which I really like, because if you're new here today, watch this. If you're brand new here today, and you're going to hear a sermon today in a moment from Psalm 23, you can say, I would like to be in a growth group this week and discuss this sermon this week. It's not like me going, yeah, I know this is a church. I came here 3 weeks ago. Everybody's off in their own thing. Where do I fit in? Hey, everybody hears the message on Sunday, and everybody can discuss it that week. It's easy on-ramps for new people. It's really cool, and we've seen this work. It's awesome. You know what? What it does is it creates a place for people to have meaningful relationships at Woodbridge Community Church. And discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Okay, let's do that. That was terrible. All right, ready? And discipleship happens in where is meaningful relationships take place at this church? Where is the primary vehicle of meaningful relationships? It's in the growth groups, friends. We did this a year ago. We launched this a year ago. And all this happened that I just described to you, all this happened this last year. We as a church have never been better at making disciples, ever, in terms of meaningful relationships. The meaningful relationships happens right there in the Word of God, centered around Jesus, right? So we launched this last year, and we've consistently had an average of 160 people a semester in sermon-based growth groups every week, 16-plus groups every week, meeting, discussing the message, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Sunday nights sometimes. It's been very good. By the way, if you're a growth group leader or a host, would you all stand? I didn't tell them I was going to do this, but would you please stand? If you did this last year, there they are. Where are you? Come on. There they are. There they are. Come on. Come on. There they are. There they are. There they are. There they are. Come on. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. What these people do is they're helping me shepherd this church. They are key, critical. So, to say all that, guess what you need to do this next year? You need to sign up for a growth group. I'm telling you, people, we've worked the kinks out of this thing. It's running well. If you've been sitting on the sidelines this last year, I, as your pastor, this first Sunday of 2016, tell you, sign up for this. Just give it a run. Give it a whirl, okay? Just for like 8 weeks, and see if this doesn't really bless you in your walk with God as you're building in relationships, meaningful relationships with other brothers and sisters. Now, you're going to want to do that because starting next week, we're going to launch a pretty cool new series called What's the Difference? And what we're going to do is we're going to be going through the gospel or the book of Galatians and looking at the gospel and comparing the gospel to other world religions and other thoughts. As a matter of fact, we've been working on a really cool bumper video, so I'm going to call this the teaser video. Check this out. This is where we're heading starting next week. Check this out. What's the difference? You read the book of Galatians. We're going to start next week. And in this series, we're going to talk about the gospel in Islam. We're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus, Mormonism. We're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus and religious traditions. We're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus and modern-day Judaism. We're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus and Scientology. We're going to talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus and Jehovah Witnesses. What's the difference between the gospel and everything else? Does that sound interesting? Wouldn't you love just not to hear this on a Sunday, but to get together in a growth group and say, let's talk about this? That's what we're doing. Don't miss out. Sign up this week. Encourage you to. It's going to be fun. We're going on a journey, friends. And by the way, if you know anybody that's like, you know, Pastor Frank, that sounds like a really interesting topic. I have a person, my neighbor or my work associate, that would be interested in this. Invite him. I promise I will be respectful. I promise I will be mindful of anybody that's here. When we speak on Islam, I'm going to speak very mindful. There are probably going to be Muslim people in here. By the way, you have good security too. Okay? Invite them. We're going to have fun. Okay? So that's what's happened in 2015. That's what some of what's going to happen in 2016 here at Woodbridge. We're going to have fun. So how about you? How was your 2015? What's going to happen to you in 2016? Was there anything that happened in your life this last year that was a surprise? Was there some highs and lows in 2015? Were the things that were expected and unexpected that happened to you in 2015? Was there things that happened in your life that was planned and things that happened in your life last year that wasn't planned? Psalm 23. Friends, there was a man in the Bible who was used to the expected and the unexpected in the coming and going of his years as he walked upon the earth. And his name was King David, born of Bethlehem. He was a shepherd boy. He was the youngest of seven older brothers. Can you imagine what that dinner table looked like? With seven older brothers, David was the youngest. And yet as a little boy, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the future king of Israel when he was a little kid. He soon went into a valley when he was young and killed a giant named Goliath. His life changed forever at that moment, friends. He became a national hero. He married the king's daughter, Saul's daughter, right? He was the son-in-law of the king. He became best friends of the prince of Israel, Jonathan. God blessed his life. God blessed it too good because the people began singing of him. Saul kills the thousands and David kills the tens of thousands. They're in a time of war. His father-in-law tried to kill him. And for 15 years, he ran for his life from King Saul, his father-in-law. In the desert, he was a fugitive of the nation. Talk about hero of the nation or the fugitive of the nation. This is the life of King David. At the age of 30, God's word, God's promise came true and was fulfilled with David. He became the second king of Israel. David captured the holy city of Jerusalem and made it the capital of the nation. He brought up the tabernacle, the ark of God, into the city. David united two of the Jewish people's most holiest places, Jerusalem and the temple, or the tabernacle. And under his rule, the nation experienced prosperity and spiritual revival on a scale that was unprecedented. He is also the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus, the Messiah. David knew about the expected and the unexpected that happens from one year to the next. Wouldn't you agree? King David, one of his greatest gifts to all generations is his 23rd Psalm. When you read the 23rd Psalm, it speaks to the journey that a person had from year to year. as they walked with God. The 23rd Psalm speaks of an individual as they walked with God from year to year. And guess who the 23rd Psalm's life is about? It's about King David's. It's about King David's. It's actually his life story, put into a psalm as he reflects on his life. Now, I've been reading this psalm just starting with the new year, and it's blessed me. And I pray this morning it blesses you in the time we have. May God speak into your heart. Here it comes. Ready? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, David was a shepherd's boy. He grew up raising and watching over flocks. And as he starts his psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David remembers his youth and how God was with him, protecting him, guiding him as he was a little kid. And not just as a little kid, but over his whole life. God is his shepherd who watches over him. Take notes. As you walk with God in 2016, your heavenly Father will be protecting and providing for you. Do you understand that? This is what I'm reflecting on. These are my notes. The Lord is my shepherd and your shepherd, and I shall not want. For the year of 2016, my heavenly Father will be protecting me and providing for me. And he's going to be providing for you too as you walk with him. Friends, nothing is going to happen to you in 2016 that he doesn't know about, and nothing's going to happen to you that you and him can't handle together. Do I hear an amen? Right? He's your shepherd for 2016. Write that down. People, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd who is willing to sacrifice for his sheep. He's a great shepherd that loves you dearly and is watching over you. The Lord is your shepherd and my shepherd. I shall not want. And he's going to be my shepherd for whatever it is going to happen and yours this next year. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm going to trust in him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Think about those words. God led David's life from year to year. God was like, David, you're going to lie down here, and I'm going to guide you over there. And here's green pastures. Here's a picture. Do you guys like green pastures? Here we go. Anyone like green pastures? I love green pastures. Do you think sheep like green pastures? What to a sheep, what is a green pasture? Food, provision, abundance. This next year, you will have food and provision and abundance from the Lord. That will be a part of your year. As the Lord guides you and the Lord leads you, besides green pastures, you will have green pastures. Did you have green pastures last year? Yes. Provisions and abundance, blessings. Did God bless you last year? Did anyone go hungry last year? Did anyone not eat last year? All these things are from the Lord. Good things. Good things. Write this down. Your heavenly Father will be protecting and providing for you, right? Protecting and providing for you. You will have times of blessing and prosperity as you walk with God in 2016. You will have times of blessing and prosperity, green pastures, food and abundance. And you're going to have times of rest and renewal. Check this out. This is a great one. Still waters. Still waters. He leads me beside the green pastures, and he takes me by still waters. Just seeing that, doesn't that just bring peace to you? Peace? A place to drink physically and spiritually in your soul? Did you have times of rest last year with the Lord? Did God lead you by still waters last year? A place to drink and to be refreshed physically as well as emotionally? Because that's important. It's so important. And God, as a good shepherd, leads his sheep to green pastures and to still waters. And you will have, as you follow God, as you walk with God in 2016, he will guide you by the still waters. And if you let him, he'll restore your soul. As you rest, the society that you and I live in is crazy. And you live in probably the most craziest place in the world, because America is known as a fast-paced people. But even more crazy than Americans are Californians. We step on the pedal and we're to do people, right? But even worse, you're not just America and California. Guess where you're living? You live in Orange County, and not just in Orange County, you live in Irvine. This is the most intense place where it's constantly go, go, go. You need to rest, be still, and know that I am God, the Bible says. As you follow Christ, he forces you to take Sabbath, to rest and restore yourself. He's going to lead you in 2016 by green pastures and still waters. It's coming. Right? Praise God for him. Write this down. He's going to guide you in a good path for his name. I like that when David says, you guide me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. You follow Christ, he will guide you in good paths for his righteousness. His name. See, you bear his name on you. You bear his name on you. People around, oh, there's the Christian, or there's the religious people. See, just you standing up for Christ, you become a target. When the Lord is on your life, he will guide you in righteousness. Righteousness. And you're going to fail next year, by the way. It's called grace. We're going to talk about that next week. But he guides you in righteousness because you're his kid. Expect it. It's good. I was thinking of David. Right after Goliath, man, talk about David saying, man, right after I killed Goliath, talk about green pastures and still waters. I was blessed. I had abundance. My career just went through the roof. Everything was going great for me, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Valleys, when hard times come, right? When the lights go out and your life begins to fall apart. Did this happen in David's life, people? Answer? Yes. Totally. And all because he was doing it right. God blessed him too much, to where the people were singing more praises about him than the king, and he became a threat to the king, and his life goes in the toilet. For 15 years, he hides in caves, in valleys, wondering what happened to my life. And I thought I was anointed by Samuel to be the great king of Israel, and now I'm running from the king, and I don't even want to kill the guy. He's my father-in-law. This guy's psycho. My life stinks. David would say that from 1 year to the next year, to the next year, to the next year, 15 years of God molding his character as he's living in caves, running, valleys, valleys, valleys. As you walk with God in 2016, write this down. Hate to tell you this, but life's still going to happen. And there's going to be hard days. But he will never leave you. Do you get that? Hate to tell you this, friends, in 2016, life's still going to happen. And there's going to be hard times. But he'll never leave you. You will find valleys next year. Here's a great valley. I found this one. This is actually quite accurate. It's in Israel. David would have led his sheep through these valleys. This is just, it's actually on the road from the Jericho to Jerusalem, down in the wilderness. A shepherd guides his sheep through these places. Do you think the sheep likes being there? Would the sheep rather be there or in the green pasture? Would the sheep rather be there or be by the still waters? I love green pastures and I love still waters. I don't like valleys. Do you? But we all walk through them, and that's life. Did you walk through any valleys in 2015? Did you have some tough times? Was God with you? In 2015, did you lose your job? 2015, did you find out you had cancer? Did you have betrayal in your life in 2015? Things that you didn't see coming happen? They happen. King David knows all about it. Yep. Here's a promise from your shepherd. He will walk with you through it all. All. He will walk with you through it all this next year. He won't keep you from it, but he'll walk with you in it. The Lord is my shepherd, friends. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Amen to that. He guides me in the path of righteousness for him. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You're with me. Your rod, your staff, these are instruments that a shepherd uses to guide his people, his sheep. Get over here. Don't walk by the cliff. Prod you to go this way. We learn that the discipline, the love of the Lord is a good thing. This is not bad when God holds this in his hand and prods you with it. It's a good thing. Thy rod, thy staff comforts me because you're watching out for me, good shepherd. Right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows, David says. After the dark valleys of David's life, he's finally anointed king, friends. God's word, God's promise given to him by Samuel the prophet when he was a little boy came true in his life. His enemy Saul is dead. The people who pursued his life all bowed down as he is anointed king. God does this. God predicted this. God does this. Has God made any promises to you? Think about it. Has God made any promises to you? I was thinking about this week. You guys remember Virginia that used to come here? Virginia was this wonderful saint who she went to go be with the Lord about 4 years ago. And I remember she would come in every Friday and fold bulletins. And she would talk about the promises of God. This is what she was dwelling her life upon toward the end of her life. And she'd say, Pastor Frank, I've been studying the promises that God has for me. all the promises that God's made for me. And she'd talk about it week after week, month after month. The promises of God. Oh, I've been studying all of God's promises he's made. And she would read them off. Has God made any promises to you? He has. Remember when Jesus says, I will go to prepare a place for you so that when you die, you will be with me. Is that a promise? Guess where Virginia is right now. Write this down. Here's something for you. Remember, all his good promises for your life will happen in his time. He's the good shepherd. He promised David he's going to be king. He did. He hasn't promised you to be king, has he? But he has made promises in your life and my life, like I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. All of God's promises in your life will come upon your life in his time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. Man, I'm blessed. My cup overflows. And here's the last part. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord forever. Where is King David at right now? After all his years of celebrating New Year's Eves, where is King David right now? He's in the house of the Lord. You know, it's funny. King David wanted to build a temple for God so bad, and God told him, no, your son can do it for me. You can build a tabernacle or a temple, right? King David set up all the money to have the thing built. And Solomon did build the temple, and the people blew off God, and God ends up allowing the temple to be destroyed. But you know where David is right now? He's in the house of the Lord in heaven, not made with human hands. King David is with God. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's a promise. Last one. Here's the thought. You ready? As you walk with God in 2016, remember that this is a temporal world that we live in. But we have an eternal home. It's a temporal world. Time comes and time goes. If I took a piece of string and just strung it out and said, this is all time from the beginning to the end of time, and I took your life and just made a little scratch with a marker and said, this represents your life. This is your life. All the days that you lived on earth is this scratch and span of all time. And you know what, friends? What we do? We live for scratch dreams and scratch visions and scratch things that mean nothing in the span of life, of eternity. Don't live for the scratch that will pass away. Amen? Live for what is beyond the grave. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever, never. Happy New Year. Hey, guess what? The Lord is your shepherd for 2016. The Lord is your shepherd. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I have no idea what God has planned for your life, and neither do you. But you trust with him, walk with him, and he will guide you and lead you. Do I hear an amen? Amen. To him be the glory, friends, for the year of 2016. For him be the glory. I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing the song, "To Him Be the Glory." It's thinking of Jesus says, "May I glorify my Father in my life and in my death." That was awesome. May you live for God this year. To Him be the glory. Would you all stand as we sing this song? As we dedicate the Lord this year for your lives, as you sing the song, would you just say, "God, to you for 2016, my life, to you be the glory," right? Welcome to a new year, friends. We're going to have a fun year. It's going to be a great year of walking with Jesus. The adventure is before us. The battle's in front of us. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, but to Him through it all, may He have the glory. Let's sing.
Who could hold the wealth of God, such treasure found in Him? Who could comprehend His heart and mind? His wisdom has no end. For from Him, through
Father God, as we gather in this room this first Sunday of 2016, we declare you as the Lord. You are God. You are the Creator who made us and knows us, cares for us, watches over us. You are the Good Shepherd that watches over our lives. Lord, hear us this first Sunday of 2016. To you be glory in our lives. We dedicate our lives this year, God, to following your Son, Jesus. We desire, God, to meet him more, to know him more, and to follow him, to follow him, to follow him daily in our lives. Jesus, we love you, the second person of the Trinity. We praise you what you've done on the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus, for sending your Holy Spirit onto this world and into our lives that we have been born again. Thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells within us, a spirit not of timidity, but of power and strength. May we have a year of being a powerful Christian as we walk in the Holy Spirit this year, in the newness of who we are in Christ, in the regeneration of the Spirit of God. We look forward to this year, Lord, that you would do mighty things in our midst, that you would answer our prayers, that you would make yourself known to those that seek you, that you would show yourself in the scriptures and in deeds of mighty power. God of miracles, God of compassion, to you be the glory this year. Here at Woodbridge Church, God, to you be the glory this next year. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.